This morning we are looking at the last part of the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. It's Resurrection Day. It's the same day that Jesus has risen from the dead, and Jesus has commanded his disciples to go to Galilee, and there they would meet him. And so we come to that meeting here in the chapter 28 of the Gospel of Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is God's word for us this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. Well, this passage is known famously as the Great Commission. In it, Jesus commissions his followers to go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching them. It really is a short but powerful mission statement and applies to any congregation today as well. It is our mission statement, really. Even though these are difficult times, and we may not be, as any church is not, we may not be the perfect church. Matthew says that the 11 disciples went to Galilee as Jesus had commanded them. Not 12, just 11. Jesus had specifically chosen 12. Matthew tells us that earlier in his gospel, but Judas betrayed Jesus, and he's gone now, so they're down to 11. And in that day, as in ours, 11 just doesn't quite get us there. We buy eggs by the dozen, 12, not 11. The carton would be less than full if there were only 11. There were 12 tribes in Israel, not 11. Nobody ever says the 11 tribes of Israel, it's the 12. 12 is complete, 11 is less than complete. So it is really a less than complete group that goes to Galilee. And yet Jesus meets them, meets with them. And he meets with us, commissions us, incomplete and imperfect, though we too may be. We hold our session meetings and other meetings by video conferencing these days. It's been quite a learning curve, and we have learned that it is a very imperfect way to communicate. Sometimes you can see, but you can't hear people. Other times you can hear but not see them. Often they just disappear. We speak over each other, and not everyone can participate. We are incomplete. We are imperfect as a church and as community leaders, and yet Jesus meets with us. When the disciples saw him, Matthew says that they worshipped him, though some doubted, emphasizing again that this is not a perfectly faithful and firmly convinced group of 11. They go back and forth. They vacillate. They come to Galilee less than complete, and when they arrive, some of them have their doubts. In fact, it may be that all of them have doubts. The original language is not entirely clear. Maybe all of them worship and all of them have doubts in each one of them at the same time. Maybe some worship and some have doubts. We're not sure. In any case, Jesus meets with this group, and that is, again, reassuring. We are worshiping and doubting followers. Bible teacher Dale Bruner says that disciples, and that's us, we live between worship and doubt. And on any given day, we toggle back and forth between the two, and yet Jesus meets with us. In fact, Matthew says that Jesus came to the disciples. Dale Bruner uses an even stronger translation. He says Jesus stepped forward to them. Though we are doubting and imperfect, Jesus steps forward to meet us. He doesn't step away at the first sign of our imperfection or doubt. He steps up, steps forward toward us to meet us and speak. And when he does with the disciples, he affirms his authority right up front. "All authority," he says, "in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, that's quite a claim. And he's either right or he's delusional. The Bible, of course, concludes that he's right. One of the later letters, Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians says, God has put all things under Jesus' feet and made him head over all things. So his sovereign authority rules over all our fears, friends. The Lord who loves you and draws close to you is saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. We live in uncertain and very fearful times. We're in fear of COVID-19, fearful of economic upheaval or perhaps even collapse. We have fears about our families, our health, our nation, and our world. Fear about the widespread unrest that is happening in our country today. We watch on our televisions and our screens what's taking place around our nation. And perhaps this morning we recall that all those who claim authority in our day, kings and queens, prime ministers, governors, other politicians, and even presidents, all are subject to a higher authority, to the one who says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus establishes his command, his commanding authority, and now he gives the disciples their mission. Go, therefore, and make disciples. He's telling the disciples to make other disciples. Go, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Matthew's, if you look at it indeed a little more closely, Matthew's sentence structure is revealing. We have four commands: go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. But only one of these is the primary command and the imperative: make disciples. Now, all the other three are subordinate to that command. In the original language, it reads like this: going, therefore, make disciples, baptizing and teaching. Going, baptizing and teaching are the way we make disciples. Going, baptizing and teaching are the way we fulfill the primary mission of making disciples. But make disciples is the main thing here. Make disciples. Now, his primary aim is that we would produce other followers, other students. It's really a kind of school word. His command is to do what he's been doing all these last 3 years or so with his disciples, teaching them, going places with them. He hangs out with them. He goes to weddings with them, goes to dinner with them. He responds to dinner invitations from others, and he takes a couple of them along with him. He models a prophetic life, a life of service. He models a life of love, and he teaches by example. In other words, this is making disciples by living with, not just teaching them. This afternoon, Baker City High School will hold its graduation. It will be a drive-through graduation. Whoever thought that this would be the graduating class of 2020. And they will always remember it for sure. Students today will drive through the bus lane at the high school to receive their diplomas, and then there's going to be a parade downtown. And so congratulations to students who are going to school in these strange ways and these strange times we're in. And what creativity on the part of school administrators and faculty and everyone to celebrate and to honor these graduating seniors under such strange circumstances. The best teachers know and understand that teaching is more than just transferring information from their brains to their students' brains. They know it has to do with modeling leadership and behaviors. They know it has something to do with communicating a sense of enthusiasm about their subject, arousing curiosity. I remember some of the history teachers I had growing up, and I really credit them for arousing in me a real interest in history because they were so passionate about their subject, and it made me interested and curious too. And teachers adapt. Oh boy, have they ever had to adapt this year, adapting to what life brings. And then teachers, more than anything, want to help shape students' character. They're teachers. And Christian discipleship is about more than information, too. As we try to fulfill Jesus' charge to make disciples, we're doing more than getting people to believe the right things. We're trying to learn ourselves and then pass on the life and the way of Jesus. That's what eternal life is, after all. Jesus says in John 17 that eternal life is to know God and to know himself, Jesus, who God sent. And that's what eternal life is, to know God and to know Jesus, and to have a kind of eternal perspective, an eternal life. What we believe then is important, but the more important thing is to match what we say with what we believe. To match what we say we believe with how we really live. That's the point. The 19th century Scottish pastor George MacDonald once said, "To hold a doctrine or an opinion with the intellect alone, it's not to believe it. A man's or woman's real belief is that which he or she lives by." And so discipleship on the way of Jesus is about a journey. It's about a life. It's about where our feet take us, about where our feet go. John Ortberg tells the story of students in a class on ornithology, you know, the study of birds. And the teacher gave the students a pop quiz. And they were told they had to identify 25 species of birds, but all they had to go on was a picture. All they had to go on was pictures of birds' feet. And one student just snapped under the pressure of such a hard test and refused to take the test, this pop quiz. And when the teacher told the student that he would flunk and then asked him for his name, the student rolled up his pants to his knees, pointed at his feet, and he said, "You tell me." Well, followers of Jesus are known by our feet. Not just our heads. We're known by where our feet take us, by our actions. We're known by our actions, not just our beliefs. Followers of Jesus are those who hit the road with him, learn from him, grow in relationship with Jesus, apprentice with Jesus. That's a good word, apprentice. We are apprentices with Jesus, learning the trade. That's what it means to be a disciple and to make other disciples. And that's why then we baptize and teach. That's why we're doing these things. We're making followers and disciples. That's the main thing. We baptize and teach them on the way. And we can do this inside and outside the church. The work of discipleship doesn't happen just within the four walls of the church. It happens outside as we are relating to our family members, our co-workers, others in the community, modeling what it means to be on the way with Jesus, to be these apprentices of his. By being ourselves, then, whose feet do the talking, we can show what it means in our time to be disciples and followers of Jesus. He is with us through all the ups and downs of our imperfect and incomplete lives. He is with us to the end of time. Amen.